The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
With great mojo comes great responsibility. Mojo 5-0. Mojo 5-0.
We will make America great again.
Sam Sorbo.
Hi there. Welcome to the Sam Sorbo Show. I've got a whole new deal here. I had to go on hiatus a little bit. I'm glad to be back. I've got several stories to bring you today that I think are very worth our discussion. The first one is this Anti-Defamation League has updated now their definition of the very word racism so that it exclusively applies to white people. Well, it's not like we didn't see this coming. It's just so amazing that they're so entirely blatant about it. And at this point, the question is, who's going to start standing up for the truth? So now the definition of racism is the marginalization and or oppression of people of color based on a socially constructed racial hierarchy that privileges white people. So the first thing that jumps to my mind with this actually is the recent sort of kerfuffle with Whoopi Goldberg, who came out and said, something to the effect of that the Nazis didn't target the Jews as a race per se, that it was really just humans on humans kind of thing, that it was bad because it was humans hating on other humans, something like that. And that's very sacred ground that she's walking on. It's very dangerous territory. And it's funny because I've been in conversations like this a little bit in the past, and the idea that Judaism isn't a race, it's a religion, but in fact, it is a race because you inherit your religious creed from your mother in the Jewish tradition. And so it is a race. And in fact, Hitler very much targeted the Jews as a race of people, in fact, an inferior race of people, inferior to the Aryan race of people, which were the sort of the blonde hair, blue eyed Germanic, you know, tribes. And it's funny because I believe Hitler had some Jewish blood in him. He was also not very tall and let's say he wasn't a genetic specimen. I probably shouldn't be laughing when I'm talking about Hitler, but you know, you could say that, he definitely targeted the Jewish race. He also targeted other groups of people, which is a different form of bigotry, aside from racism. But here, what they're saying is that in order to be a racist, you must be white because it's oppressing people of color, and it's based on privileges of white people. And so, and this is, you know, this is CRT carried out sort of to not the finality. I'm sure we haven't seen the last of it. But this is according to the ADL. And so, and it's funny because of course, white is a color. We're not transparent. So the idea here really is buy my book because the real definitions of these words are in my book. And that's partly why I wrote my book. It's just crazy. Let's move on. California school now, a school in California has hosted a drag night for children. In fact, there's a South Bay newspaper where the headline says, youngster organizes family-friendly drag night. What is family-friendly about drag night? So this article is off the Not the Bee, which is one of my new favorite publications, I have to say. So I I encourage you all to go to Not the Bee, which is a subsidiary of, or a relative or whatever of the Babylon Bee, which is a satirical site. This is the not satire, but kind of should be satire. The seventh grader who organized the event and leads the Rainbow Alliance Club at the school came out to her parents with unequivocal support only a year and a half ago. So she would have been, she's seventh grade now. She would have been about the age of 10 when she came out to her parent. Now, but listen to this, because this is the important part. She said that she was omnisexual, which, by the way, means no sexual preference, which, by the way, seems pretty much normal for a 10-year-old, right? What am I missing here? As if that requires a declaration that 10-year-olds are not particularly interested in sex. But see, this is the way these people think, because they believe that sexuality should be explored with children. This is a whole way of thinking, right? That deviates from what we consider to be normal and reasonable and healthy. And so when you go off of the assumption that, well, kids are sexual beings, which was a whole field of study, I think pretty much started and championed by Freud, but I could be missing my mark there. I'm not a psychology student or whatever. But anyway, so they think it would be reasonable to say that a 10-year-old who's not interested in any sex is that is the anomaly, or that should be something that is declared. And I mean, honestly, this is child abuse. And so anyway, this 10-year-old put together a drag queen night to teach children how to become drag queens. And it's so interesting, because I was listening to, gosh, I think it was a Jordan Peterson podcast, and he was talking about sexuality. And it might not have been him. I shouldn't attribute it if I'm not sure. But anyway, he was talking about human sexuality, and he said that he believed, or that it could be considered, at least, that some of these grown people, men in general, who like to try on women's clothing and like to fantasize about being children, are sort of acting out latent desires of fantasy and exploration that were never satisfied in their youth. That children typically will do that kind of a thing. It was Jordan Peterson, because he was talking about his son and how his son's older sister would dress the boy up in their clothes with her girlfriends. And then they would put makeup on him and they'd laugh and it would be fun. And they were all playing, and the little boy enjoyed it. And Jordan's first sort of reaction was, ooh, I don't know if I like that. And he took a moment and he walked away and he sat with it for, I don't know, a few hours, maybe a day, about what was it that he didn't like about it and where was the problem? Was there a problem? Which I think is clever. In fact, I have images of my own son dressing up in one of my daughter's tutus. And I took photos for blackmail later. He's graduating high school this year. Those might come out of hiding. I'm kidding. But the idea is, and my kids, my boys used to love to paint their nails. They wanted to paint their nails. And I look at that and I go, well, that's just childhood exploration. I think children as a group are attracted to shiny, fluffy, pretty objects. And that's normal. And so to then say, no, don't look at that. You're a boy. That's not for you, I think is probably misguided. And in fact, perhaps results in older people enjoying playing at fantasy because they never got the opportunity when they were young. At least that I believe that's Peterson's partly his contention. Not always, this isn't like a blanket statement, but in in a sense, for some of these people. And in fact, in this school in California, and this is a public school in California, which just blows me away. The event was hosted by the LGBTQ plus Alliance Club at Rolling Hills Prep in California. It was organized by a quote, omnisexual seventh grader. She's a 12-year-old child. I wonder if she has any idea what omnisexual actually means. And then they said that it was meant to educate the school community about LGBTQ cultures. So now they have their own culture and expressive outlets, including the performative nature of drag. The event includes both booths, included booths exploring how to build a drag persona, what wigs to wear, and how to do makeup. And there was also a friendly lip sync competition. Now, you could argue that this is an opportunity for children to explore fantasy. My struggle is that they're exploring fantasy with quote unquote role models who are not the best role models. And in fact, they show a photo of one of the teachers who is clearly a man with a beard and a mustache, wearing a wig or having very long flowing locks of hair, wearing a dress. And he teaches middle school music. And so I think my point is, and it's funny because I was just listening to Joe Rogan this morning talking with Steven Pinker, and they were talking about how memory can be manipulated. Especially, they were mentioning specifically an 18-year-old girl who had been raped. And I eventually, the prosecutor admitted to her that he had manipulated her to pick one guy that he had chosen sort of at random on the lineup for her to remember, and remember sort of unequivocally that that was the guy who raped her, even though the guy was innocent. And they sent that guy away to jail for what they think was maybe over 10 years. An innocent man, because she remembered specifically that he was the guy who raped her. So the struggle here is, if we can manipulate memories, I don't even think there's a question. I'm not even sure why I needed to bring that evidence in, but it's very clear that we can manipulate memories. Can we then manipulate emotion? Well, obviously we can manipulate emotions, desires and tendencies. And of course we can. And then the question is, should we? And furthermore, should we allow others to do that to our children, regardless of how you feel about it one way or the other? I suppose it can't be regardless of how you feel about it. But should we allow these people to manipulate our children? That's really what it boils down to. And if you're a parent of school-aged children, do you want the people who are now teaching in our schools to have access to your children to manipulate them? I got an email from a gal, a grandmother sent me an email saying that her 10-year-old granddaughter, fourth grade granddaughter, for a class project where they're studying the Second World War, was asked to dress up as Hitler. And that she didn't understand why that would be a good assignment. She didn't think the girl needed to dress up as Hitler, she said, but she asked me for my advice. What should she do? And I wrote a piece about it. But I have to say, and I probably shouldn't be shocked that she thinks to ask somebody. I understand she's looking for strategies or tactics, right? Maybe, right? But it's so funny because I read the email to both of my sons, and they laughed out loud. They were like, "What? That's crazy!" Like, I read it to my daughter, and she said, "Well, she should take the daughter out of school." Like, remove her from that abusive environment. Is there a question of whether young girls should dress up as Hitler. Let me ask you this. If your little girl came to you and said, I want to dress up as Hitler. Like, shouldn't we look at that sort of suspiciously and say, no, that's not a good plan, as opposed to actually assigning. And then the final straw, when you think, and here's the thing, folks, we have to train ourselves again, because we've been so trained in the other way. We have to train ourselves again. You have to sit and think through things. And the other thing that they don't teach you in school is writing is thinking. That's why we should learn to write properly, is because it's a form of thinking and it actually helps. It aids in thought. And so, so I sat and I wrote her back. I wrote an email back, and then that encouraged me to think some more. And I wrote a second email back, and then that encouraged me to think some more. And I think the second email was, by the way, understand that they're assigning this. You're the one that has to make the costume, because it's not a sartorial class. It's not a class on how to make a costume. It's fourth grade. So the parents have to make the costume. So how does that, so that ropes the parents into their insanity. It actually makes the parents complicit. And then maybe there's, I don't know, maybe there's like a special judging how well the parents did, you know, how devoted are the parents into reproducing a full, you know, Nazi uniform? I don't know. Like, there's some crazy stuff that's happening behind the scenes here that I don't even, I'm just speculating about. And then I think my third email was, you know, you should definitely fight this kind of thing, and at the same time, remove your child from the front lines. So, all right. That calls for a quick break. I'm going to take a quick break and I will be right back. Thanks so much. You're listening or watching The Sam Sorbo Show on Rumble, also on YouTube for a little while longer, maybe, and here on Mojo 5.0. All right, welcome back to the show. I'm Sam Sorbo. I want to talk about this Michigan high school student who's suing the school for suspending him for privately talking about his Christian beliefs. If you don't think that Christianity, the Christian religion, or Christians themselves are under attack, well, maybe this will change your mind. This is in Michigan, Plainwell High School. He's a student, David Stout. They suspended him for 3 days just for expressing his Christian beliefs and opinions in a private conversation with a like-minded student, but it was on school property. And by the way, also engaging in private text messaging outside of school with friends about his faith. Can you imagine? You're suspended for 3 days. He should sue, absolutely. Before being suspended, he alleges that he was asked by a faculty member why he had not self-reported. I put that in air quotes, but it's actually in quotes in the article, which is again off of Not the Bee. I think I'm doing a Not the Bee episode because I just, all of these fascinating articles, I guess maybe we have similar interests, me and Not the Bee. Why he had not self-reported his sharing of his religious and political beliefs with fellow students to school officials. Now, let me just stop right there and reassure you folks. Religion is politics and politics is religion. And I know that a lot of people will disagree with that, but that's burying your head in the sand. Because politics is just the enactment of your worldview in the public square. And so if you say to me, if you show me a politician who says that he doesn't make policy decisions in any way, shape, or form based on his religion, he's a hypocrite. In other words, he says one thing, he says, I'm Catholic, but then he goes and supports abortion. So that's a hypocrite. There's no way to marry those two things, especially not in the Catholic Church. So, for instance, this, our laws, every one of our laws is a moral statement. It's a statement of morality. Now, it might be immoral according to the morals of the Bible, but every statement is a value proposition. Every law is a value proposition, which devolves basically into a moral issue, a moral statement. So to ban speaking about politics, you know, my syndicated radio show years ago, I said, I talk about politics and religion because those are the only two things worth talking about. Religion is who you are and where you're going in terms of your idea of the afterlife, right? Politics is how you get there. I know it's sort of pithy, but it's true. The student also alleges he was told that talking about religious or political beliefs was not allowed anywhere on campus. Because this is how they justify it. Well, you might hurt someone's feelings. That's how they justify it. You might hurt someone's feelings. This is why I have started in every restaurant I go to, I say, and I'm very nice, I say to the server, if they're wearing a mask, I say, please tell your management that masks offend me. I'd like your management to know. I'm personally offended by the fact that servers have to wear masks. I find it elitist, and it has, to me, the mask has, it's a vestige of the slave era. So, okay, he alleges the faculty member told him he must stop all religious conversations with other students because if he was overheard, they might feel offended and unsafe. If somebody stole your phone and looked through your texts, they might feel offended and unsafe. And by the way, what would be unsafe? How would they feel unsafe? What would offend them, first of all? The truth? Yeah. Yeah, the truth is pretty offensive. This is a school in Michigan. This is a faculty member who feels he's in the right, that he's perfectly justified in telling this student, that in denying this student his freedom of speech. Perfectly justified. I mean, they went through with it and they suspended him. Well, what's he going to do? Complain? We told him to shut up. It's funny, the more I talk about it, the more irate I am. Stout said that the whole thing seemed to him to be a one-sided method to shame, intimidate, and silence conservatives and Christians. You think? The superintendent, of course, didn't respond to requests for comment. His parents received notice that their son had been suspended. His father said this, "We have always taught our son to be respectful of everyone's opinion and to be polite to others." Now, by the way, respectful of their opinion means to respect the fact that they have an opinion. That's fine, but you don't have to respect their opinion. You don't have to give it credence if it's the wrong opinion, for instance. Like, I respect the fact that the teacher, the faculty member, thought that they had a right to silence him, but they were wrong. The father continues, he's entitled to properly express his faith and beliefs without being disciplined and suspended by Plainwell schools. We trust the court will uphold David's constitutional rights and his school record will be cleared. So his attorney, a man named David Coleman of the Great Lakes Justice Center, said David was suspended for 3 days last fall for stating his Christian beliefs in a private text conversation and in a hallway at school. He is also being punished for not policing and reporting the inappropriate jokes of fellow students. So now you're getting in trouble for not reporting that other kids maybe crossed a line. Somehow you're automatically complicit. I think that they just tagged that on. That just looks like they tagged something on to make the charges seem more, which is something that they always do, to really sort of cow the student into not saying anything, you know, to silence or whatever. He was instructed to stop posting his religious comments on all his social media platforms. And was disciplined for the offensive behavior of some other students, something he was unaware of and did not participate in. Oh my gosh. Did you see there was a meme? I don't know how this took place, whatever, but the Dirty Jobs guy, Mike Rowe, did, he must have done some shoot where it was him and his whole crew, the camera guys and the sound guys and everybody, because you can see they're all holding their equipment, right? Their sound equipment, their photography equipment, whatever, and micro. And they're all dressed, or they're all undressed, wearing diapers, wearing very large diapers. And I don't know why. The caption was something about, imagine if now you're told, imagine there's a 98.9% chance, or 99.7% chance you're going to crap yourself. And so they force you to wear a diaper. Sorry, a 99, I'm totally screwing this up. 99.7% chance you won't crap yourself, but they're telling you to wear a diaper. And then the bot, that was on the top. And then at the bottom, it said, now imagine there's a 99.7% chance your neighbor won't crap himself, but just in case you have to wear a diaper. I'm sorry. Anyway, this made me think of that because now he's being punished for something somebody he doesn't know, said. I mean, this is ingenious. I hope this becomes national news. He's a good student with a clean record, according to, it sounds like it's according to his lawyer. He hasn't caused a disruption. There's been no problem at the school. It's just that some vindictive jerk of a faculty member overheard something, and he personally was offended. And goodness knows, he's so sensitive, he can't possibly withstand the offense. And so now he sends, he suspends David to teach him a lesson. They asked for the court, they asked the court for a declaratory judgment that the school district violated his First and 14th Amendments and his civil rights under the Michigan Constitution and the other and some other state statutes. He's asking that his suspension be expunged from his school records, and he's seeking compensatory and or nominal damages, costs, and attorney fees. And I think he should actually, not that I'm a lawyer, but I think he should go after the faculty member who brought charges. And I think that it should be personal and punitive, because I think the faculty needs to be taught a lesson because they have spent too much time in the Marxist indoctrination treadmills. And so they think somehow that they control, and they do in a sense, that they should control and they shouldn't. And so this is not the only, this is not the only thing. But here's, this is a good start, right? And this should be national news. Of course, if the truckers trucking across Canada, and I don't know if you've seen the latest that I saw was they've raised well over $10 million for these truckers that are gathering in Ottawa. And I saw somebody announced, was it DC Drano announced that they had enough, they had accumulated enough money to park at the Parliament building in Ottawa for 2 to 4 years, something like that. And then, of course, then Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, declared that he had COVID. And then more recently, I saw a video of him getting his COVID shot. Now, here's the weird thing. The video was narrated by a nurse. And I'll see if I can include it here. It was narrated by a nurse and it showed him getting the jab. And the nurse that was giving it to him, first of all, didn't aspirate the needle. Second, didn't typically when you get a jab, they hold your arm, they hold your deltoid. Just to make sure that they're going into the muscle when they jab you. And she didn't at all. She totally did it from remote with a single hand to both him and his wife. In fact, the wife didn't even wait for a Band-Aid.
Notice how she's giving him the injection and she hasn't done any landmarking. And watch what she does here. She gives it with one arm, one hand. She's not even touching his arm and landmarking where his deltoid is. Second of all, there was another mistake she made. She makes the same mistake on Sophie. Look at this. No landmarking. She's just one hand in it in. Nobody does that. You don't give IM injections that way.
So the conjecture is he didn't even get the shot. Can you imagine? And of course, there are other conjectures about him, namely that his father's actually Fidel Castro, and a number of other things. So I don't know about you. I just tweeted Truck Trudeau because I thought that that was clever and I couldn't help myself when I thought of it. Truck Trudeau. All right. We'll leave it there, but I'll be right back after a quick break. Stay tuned. This is the Sam Sorbo Show. All right. Welcome back to the Sam Sorbo Show. I'm your host, Sam Sorbo. We're going to talk about critical race theory. And I love this because here is an example of somebody standing up. And what we're seeing also up in Canada, the truckers who are saying, no, no, no. I love what I'm feeling out there right now is sort of a groundswell of the average, I don't know how to say this, of the average person who's just not going to take it anymore. And so I have a great example of that for you. And it ties into the truckers. It ties into Joe Rogan on Spotify, which I'm going to talk about in a little bit with my husband. Kevin's going to come on the show in a little bit. So, but first, this is this came across also from Not the Bee, and it's a guy named Nick Freitas or Freitas. He's a Republican member of the Virginia House of Delegates. He's kind of sick and tired, frankly, of all of the demonizing of people on the right. It's just like, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's just this tendency now that if you consider yourself to be on the right, then you're a bad person, just right off the bat. Then you have more to prove, right? Whereas if you're on the left, it's sort of like, and by the way, this is not my assumption, but sort of in the general public, there's just this nastiness, which frankly, I don't want to say this, but it must emanate from the left because the left so easily demonizes people. Is that weird? It's like this self-fulfilling, it's not self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like this, I know you are, but what am I? Kind of thing. It's weird. And I haven't gotten my head around the whole, it's a perversion and it's on purpose. And I'm still working to get my head around the whole thing. All right. He's tired of being called a racist every time he disagrees with some left-wing policy. It's like the moment that you disagree, then the name calling starts. And the reason for that is because they have no better argument. They have no better way to win the argument. So they want what they want, and they have very little evidence to support it. And so they just call you names. Also, it's very effective because then all of a sudden you're defending against whatever the name calling is, and you're not actually focusing on the argument, on the debate of whatever the policy is. And in fact, this is one of the things that we learn when we teach debate. I'm sure you guys know I ran a couple of debate clubs and brought my kids up sort of through speech and debate clubs. And there's a whole etiquette that's involved in proper debate. And it focuses on not just get your facts together and organize them so that you can present a reasoned debate, but also make sure you don't demonize the individual you're debating. This is something that I've said for many decades now. I never argue the person, I argue the issue, which, yeah, it makes me seem argumentative because I will argue the issue, but it never goes personal because it's not personal. It's about the issue to me. And it ought to be to everyone. But unfortunately, we're now living in a culture where our culture and our schools have made it all emotional. And when it's emotional and not policy, it devolves very quickly into personal attacks. All right. So he got up in front of his colleagues and he gave them a little piece of his mind. And I want to play you this clip because I thought that the speech was just great. So have a listen and then and then come back to me.
I was asked by a colleague of mine on the other side of aisle, someone I actually deeply respect. And she asked me, was I going to be nice this session? And I thought it was an interesting question. I don't particularly think of myself as a an unnice person, but I can see how sometimes people would see that differently. But you know what I've never done, Mr. Speaker? I've never got on this floor and I've challenged the faith of an elected official because I disagreed with them on policy. I've never got on this floor, Mr. Speaker, and suggested that the other side of the aisle were racist because they didn't agree with my particular policy positions. I've never suggested they were sexist because they didn't agree with my particular policy positions. But I'm keeping a running tally so far of this session. We're not very far into it. And almost every day, someone on the other side of the aisle either gets up and either subtly or comes right out and suggests that if you don't agree with them on policy, well, then you're not a Christian. You're a sexist. You're a bigot. You're a racist. But the moment someone actually stands up and says, wait a second, no, I'm not going to accept that. If you want to debate me on the merits of our particular policies, I am happy to have that discussion. But the moment you claim, with no evidence other than we don't agree on a particular policy position, the moment you claim that that makes us racist or sexist or bigoted.
All right, well, what'd you think of that? It's pretty good. He's pretty strong. And if you saw the video, like he's a well-groomed, bearded, mustached guy. I mean, he looks like somebody you don't necessarily want to meet in a back alley under unfortunate circumstances. He totally looks like a tough guy. So I just love how staunch he is. And we have to stop falling into traps. You're not wearing a mask, therefore you hate people. No, I'm not anti-mask. I'm pro-face. Sorry, I love that one. We have to stop playing the games because they are childish, because they are emotional. And we have to figure out how to not get snookered into that. And I like the fact that he said, you're impugning me before we even, say good morning, basically. You're impugning me because I put an R after my name. How dare you? How dare you make terrible assumptions about me? But that's what the left does, you see. Unfortunately, I do it too. Somebody has a D after their name. I don't know, man. Look, to me, it's a very simple equation. If you like killing babies, I find you suspicious. And unfortunately, Democrats can't get away from being married to Planned Parenthood. I don't know how they can distance themselves because the party is so in lockstep, and I mean that, with Planned Parenthood and abortion. So entirely like this, like besties. I don't know how you can get away. Look, you call yourself an independent? Great. Now I know we can dialogue. But it's a terrible thing. This is why we don't negotiate with terrorists, because terrorists want you dead. So where's the compromise? You want to live, terrorist wants you dead. How do you compromise? All right, we'll leave it there for just a minute, but I will be right back after a break. All right, welcome back to the Sam Sorbo Show. I have a very special guest. My husband is joining us, Kevin Sorbo. You might know him from God's Not Dead or Let There Be Light, or you might just know him as Hercules, but I know him as my ever-loving husband. Welcome to the show.
Good to see you. You're so far away.
He's joking because I have my new studio, which is upstairs, and I haven't yet sort of worked it out that we could both be in the same room. So he's with me on Zoom.
You're kind of right downstairs. At that angle, and I'm right at this angle.
You look great, though.
Oh,
all right,
thank
so
because I
so
like my
I wanted
backdrop.
To talk to you about the whole censorship thing, and I just covered for my guest on the radio. I just covered this. This story out of Michigan that a high school student was suspended just for sharing his Christian faith, sharing some of his beliefs with somebody in the hallway of school in a private conversation.
That shows you where we're living right now. It's crazy. It's insane. This is, we're turning into China. We're turning into Russia. We're turning into communist countries that want to totally get rid of religion completely because government is the religion. Government is the God. And they want to take care of everybody and at the same time, keep everybody down. But they know what's best for us, don't they?
You know, that's so well said. And I think that it's actually very clever to put it in those terms, because this is Marxist ideology. This is, you need to tattle on your neighbor. And if you don't tattle on your neighbor, then you are just as bad as he is. Yeah. And you need to tattle to the government. So they got this kid and they suspended him. But they also suspended him because he didn't tattle on some other kids who made some off-color jokes, if you will. Can I say off-color anymore? I don't even know anymore.
I don't know. But everything's being redefined. And I mean, who thought we'd be at this place this quickly in this country? And it's just, and people are already tattletelling on their neighbors. I mean, it's already happening now. I mean, it's, fear is their weapon. And most people are sheep. And it's your job and it's my job to wake up the lions, because the sheep are always going to be the sheep. And they're afraid. There's, I might lose my job. I might lose my friends. Well, then they're not your friends and find a better job. I mean, it's just, it's crazy what we're doing to the world right now. I'm sick of it. You're sick of it. And we're reaching a tipping point, because you see what's going on in school boards all across the country as well. People are getting fed up with it. And I love the truckers up in Canada. God bless them. Go after that idiot Trudeau, who loves, I mean, the guy, you know, rumors are he's Fidel's son. Maybe he is, because he's got the communist bloodline going in there. So who knows? Who knows?
So, and it's funny, because I heard that from somebody and who was talking with a former Canadian who lives in the States now. And she was saying, well, you know, there's rumors that he's Trudeau's son. And the guy said that Trudeau is Castro's son. And the guy said, no, he can't be. I mean, he's too good looking. He's so much better looking than Castro is. And she said, yeah, not when Castro was younger, though. So apparently Castro was like a pretty good looking guy when he was young. So I don't know.
Yeah, but that's beside the point. I don't look at him as a dreamy dude. I just look
at him. Here's the thing. It doesn't really matter, because the point is that the Trudeaus, Justin's mother and father, went and hung out with Castro.
No.
So it's not so much the bloodline as it is the upbringing.
You know,
unfortunately, we have a whole society now whose kids have been brought up in these Marxist indoctrination centers we call public school.
Well, we don't know. Like, it's not like we're going to be spread rumors here. But when I was in Canada, I heard it mostly from the people in Canada when we shot that movie up in Calgary last October, November. And they were saying it to me. They're going, oh, yeah, the rumors about him being the son of Castro has been around forever. And so I'm just saying what I heard. Do you and I have proof of it? No, of course we don't. But it's interesting that those rumors are out there.
Well, and I think that it speaks more to like the liaison that is suspected rather than the bloodline. Like, really, who cares? But but the ideology is the same. And in fact, I mean, Trudeau the other day, he actually quoted Hitler. He said, we cannot tolerate these people. Talking about people who didn't want the vaccine or didn't want the vaccine mandate or whatever it was. And that is very dangerous language. But speaking of intolerance, I heard now you've been taken off of LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah. LinkedIn has permanently banned me. I posted. I think it was not the B or the Babylon B. It was one of those things where they said a woman had to kill her dog because she believed the dog had COVID and didn't want the dog to give the family COVID. So I posted it because I thought it was pretty funny, because it's Babylon Bee. Well, they posted, they said to me, you can't say that if it's not true. I'm going, but everything you guys believe in is the lie. So, and on top of it, LinkedIn, pretty much like Zuckerberg and his little goonies over there at Facebook, they have no sense of humor. All they have is their hate, their anger, and the spite for themselves. Because trust it, I can go into a whole psychological profile. Those people, I know they look in the mirror in the morning, they don't like what they see. And misery loves company is perfect for these people, because they want to drag you and me and other like-minded people like us into their little black hole. Can I say black hole anymore? Anyway, I changed the name of that now too. I don't know. It's insanity what we're doing. And LinkedIn, I mean, you know, they're trolls. They don't like us. They don't like me because I'm a conservative. And to give these punks powers, I want to face my accusers, what I want to do. They know who I am. So that I'm a target for them. Do I know who these little punks are that sit behind a desk in their mom's basement and get rid of anybody that they disagree with? No, I don't ever get to meet them, which is too bad, because I'd love to meet them face to face.
Yeah. So you got taken off of Facebook. Yeah. LinkedIn warned you a few times and you corrected the things that they were warning about. But now to intimate that a woman thought that COVID could be caught from her dog, which my understanding is that all animals are carriers of the COVID virus. It doesn't jump from species to species. That was the whole sort of issue with the contention that it naturally occurred. Now we have proof that it was created in a lab by human beings. And so, you know, and the wheels are coming off this whole thing. What do you see for the future?
Well, everything I said in Facebook is now true, of course. If I said those same things that I'm saying now, before 8 months ago, they couldn't take me down, because now they're even admitting that, you know, well, the CDC says masks are pretty useless. The CEO of Southwest Airlines, the CEO of American Airlines, have come out about 3 weeks ago saying, guys, the safest place to breathe without masks and not spreading the virus is our airplanes, because every 2 minutes, the entire air is new coming into airplanes. So, but the power that flight attendants love this, they probably want to keep us wearing masks forever because they love their little power in airplanes to cover your nose, you know, but it's crazy. I love these signs. You and I were at the airport not too long ago.
In you know, the hold on, sign. Hold on. Let's not impugn all the flight attendants. I'm sure that a good portion of them are not at all happy about having to become police.
I hope so.
And the same thing in restaurants. Remember, so we just got back from Calgary. Well, we got back from Calgary right before Christmas. Kevin was shooting Left Behind. He was directing and starring in it, actually. And when you went to a restaurant, you had to show your proof of vaccine, and you had to show your driver's license. And the poor little hostess had to check your vaccine card against your driver's license to make sure you were indeed the person with the vaccine card. And I know that they didn't enjoy that. Right?
Some did.
Yeah.
The majority didn't. I agree. But some of them definitely did. But the good news is you don't have to show an ID if you're black and you're voting, because that's racist. But if you're black going into a restaurant to eat, you better show that Vax card and that ID, especially in Washington, D.C. Very, very, very picky about that. And, you know, what they keep doing in the Virginia schools as well, even though the Virginia governor said enough of this with kids having to wear masks. So as I posted on Twitter, the best way to stop kids wearing masks in school is get rid of the school desk and replace them with a restaurant table. Thank you very much.
So talk to me about Joe Rogan. He signed a $100 million deal with Spotify. Yep. And then we had all of these rock stars, aging rock stars, I should say, and even Whoopi Goldberg Joy Behar coming out and saying he should, Spotify should not have him on there. Actually, I think Joy Behar said that she wanted more people to quit Spotify.
Because, well, he literally has 20 times more people watching him than The View does. I mean, the average number of anybody on CNN, doesn't matter what hour slot, is like 500,000 homes. He has 11 million homes, and people are jealous of him having a voice. And I'm telling you, I listen to Joe enough. The guy he's on both sides of the fence. I mean, if there ever is a true independent voter, it's Joe Rogan. And he's saying himself that he goes, well, you know, it's important. We got to protect people. I need to be protection. But look, I got this guy talking about it and this guy talking about it. He always has both sides on his show. These people are envious of the fact that they're getting their butt kicked by a stand-up comedian on podcast doing serious issues.
It is really the least expected. Right. Yeah. If you wrote this in a movie, people would be like, well, I don't know about that. He admits it.
He says, I can't believe this has turned into what it's turned into. But he's like a regular Joe Rogan, regular Joe sitting and doing his show. And he's just cool with it. And he keeps people on for 3 or 4 hours. It's unbelievable. It's not like he does a big wide variety of guests coming on like the Tonight Show used to do when you and I used to watch late night TV.
That's how you know that he's digging for truth. That's how you know, because there's an authenticity and there's not a lot of editing. I mean, they have different cameras and different camera angles, but the conversation is a full conversation and it goes wherever it goes. And it's authentic. And I think that's his real key. And if you tune into any of the news shows that are, you know, any of the CNN news shows, really any of them on TV and The View, it's all produced. It's very produced, which lends it this air of inauthenticity. And nowadays, I think people are really starting to crave authenticity.
Well, and all those mainstream media, the vast, like 95% of them, everything is skewed to one side. They don't want to dare bring on somebody who's got an opposing viewpoint. They want everybody to come on there and just agree with them, And that's why The View has a hard time having even one person on their panel that has a different point of view. And it's, you know, I've done that show, what, like 5 or 6 times through the years. They'll never have me back on again. But, you know, I've done it before. And I think the last time I did it, I was the male guest host of the week. They were doing a Friday guest host with a male. And, you know, Joy Behar and I kind of went at it when she said that we should pay taxes. And I said, well, you should pay more taxes then. Just give your money away. If you think that taxes should keep on going up and government should decide what we do with our money. I think people are very giving in America. And I think we can figure out what we should do with our money better than the government does. But they, you know, they let us work 12 months a year and let us keep 5 months of that income. The other 7 months they're happy to take, which is just ludicrous to me because everything they do, it's like Reagan said, these are the words you have to fear. If they say, hi, I'm from the government, I'm here to help. They're not there to help. There are things that make things more difficult. Everything's about obstacles with them. And I don't know. I'm still mad at Segway. I'm still mad at what Biden did when he took all the troops out of Afghanistan like that and left $80 billion of our taxpayer equipment behind. China and Russia was in the next day looking at our technology. What an idiot this guy is. And you have him on tape about 15 years ago saying we'll never leave any of our men or our weapons behind because one day those weapons could be used to kill your children and grandchildren. And then he does it anyway. It shows you politicians. But people aren't going to hear that quote, are they? They're not going to pay attention.
Well, this is where I struggle. So on the one hand, you're sort of impugning the entire government, every government official out of hand, which I struggle with because I know that there are some people who went to Washington to be the change, right? And there are some people who are still struggling to be the change. And it is a very difficult thing to do because I think there's a seduction that happens in Washington, D.C. I think, honestly, we need to decentralize our government because they spend too much time in Washington, D.C., and they're no longer really working for their constituents. But at the same time, You say that, you know, what an idiot Biden was to just leave all of our equipment in Afghanistan. And I can't help on the flip side, I can't help but look at that, knowing that he made that quote years ago, knowing how strong his relationship is with China, that somehow that was on purpose.
Yeah, I believe it was on purpose.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's too easy to go, oh, my gosh, that's just crazy. But they should have known better. And you hate to say that it was actually, no, they intended for that to happen. But I can't see any other way through that.
But did you see how it disappeared? They just totally don't talk about it at all.
Yeah, they don't talk about it.
We had, what, 13 of our armed service guys were killed in that suicide bombing? Nobody talks about it. If Trump had done that, it'd still be news today. They'd still be talking about it.
Well, Benghazi.
Oh, Benghazi, nothing. Yeah.
And they never got to the bottom of Benghazi. And
no,
I remember Leon Panetta saying
have too much crap on each other. There's too much stuff they have on each other. So look, you talk about what's going on in Washington, how they do things on purpose and people disappear. Mr. Smith goes to Washington. That's like over 70 years ago. And it shows here's this idealistic young guy getting into the Senate. He's there to change things. And he finds out right away, even then, that you can't change things, that there's these walls up everywhere. Jimmy Stewart's in that movie and he's phenomenal.
And that's why, like, as Americans, we have a healthy distrust of government, right? But but we're being educated out of that. This is what's going on in our schools. Our schools are teaching the young people and now multi-generationally that government is good, that government is intrinsically good. In fact, the government is God. And that's the real danger. So get your kids out of public school.
Yep.
You have anything to add to that?
Take them out of college. They don't need to go to college. Get rid of it. Seriously. Stop giving your money to these universities. I mean, but you know, we have too many. You got half the country that's completely brainwashed. They think we're the ones who are brainwashed. And but what's interesting is all these things that are called conspiratorial and conspiracy theories and all that. It's all coming true now. Everything we said about COVID is all coming true. Do people die from it? Yes, it's horrific. But now they're saying that they've overestimated by like 90%. Of how many people actually died from COVID and not from pre-morbidity. So, you know, we got to keep fighting the fight and keep banging people over the head to make them wake up eventually here. Otherwise, you know, the culture is going sideways. And that's why I do movies that have a positive influence on people instead of a negative one. So people need to go to sorbostudios.com, by the way. Just remember that, sorbostudios.com. Check us out. We got a lot of good things coming down the road.
That's great. Anything else? We've got a speaking engagement coming up. I know because I'm going with you.
You're going with me to it?
Well, I'm going the one.
Life 2022.
That's in Dallas at the end of February.
Yes, it's called Living in Freedom Experience. And it's a pretty big 3-day event. There's a lot of different speakers will be there, but I get the keynote, open it up, and you, of course, will be talking about education.
Because that's my bag.
That's your bag.
You've got a number of other things. Do you want to talk about them for just a minute? I've got another minute, and then I have to go.
You know, we got Miracle in East Texas going to be out in theaters later this year. We've got the one I just directed, Left Behind, based off the Left Behind books, Left Behind, Rise of the Antichrist. That's coming out. My latest documentary, Eating with the Enemy. It's a follow-up to Before the Wrath. Check out Before the Wrath, beforethewrath.com. Eating with the Enemy deals with the Last Supper and the disciples. I've got a World War II movie I'm shooting in Poland. And I've got a Western I'm going to shoot in Oklahoma called Trailblazers, and a documentary I'm shooting in Israel. So I'm staying very busy.
Let me ask you why. I see all the photos behind you. Your wall looks fantastic. Where's my picture?
It's there. You're somewhere.
Not on camera.
Where are you? You're over there.
You're all right, darling. Love you.
Oh, we got a show. I don't know if you can. Me with Arnold Palmer right here. Come on. I golf with
Arnie. There he is.
Which is really cool.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Sorbo, thank you so much for coming on the program. This is The Sam Sorbo Show. We'll see you next time.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.